Hey Siri, play Social Geek Radio.
Okay, Social Geek Radio podcast coming up.
Hello, geeks, and welcome to Social Geek Radio. I'm Jack Munson, your host and social media consigliere. Today, we will be joined by Justin McCoy of Cousins Subs. Today's show is brought to you by Social Joey, brand journalist, and Intrepid Direct. Intrepid Direct is able to bundle all required coverages, including property, liability, hired and non-owned auto, owned auto, work comp, umbrella, and EPL into one monthly payment. Intrepid is a direct provider with A-plus rated coverage no agent or broker can access. Intrepid's licensed franchise experts will review your quote and provide excellent service. You'll save 20% by cutting out the middleman's commission. See why thousands of franchise locations have switched to Intrepid Direct. Get a fast quote now at intrepiddirect.com/socialgeek. Today's guest is Justin McCoy, the Vice President of Marketing at Cousins Submarines. He's been growing the brand for several years, and he joins us right now on Social Geek Radio. Welcome, Justin.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. I hope you're staying warm in the great state of Wisconsin. It's about as cold there, or maybe worse, than it is here in Chicago. But I guess that means we've got the end of year coming up and a new year going to start soon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we're hanging in there. That's just part of living in the Midwest, right?
Right, right. And we might need a nice warm sub to keep us warm for the next couple of months. So I want to learn all about Cousins today. But first, give us a bit of your background. What's your story?
My story. Well, my story bounces around a little bit. I was born in Wisconsin and about north central Wisconsin, farm country, small town. Moved down to Milwaukee to go to college. When I moved down here, decided to pursue a degree in communications and minor in marketing. During that time, I ended up working for about 4.5 years with the Milwaukee Bucks doing PR media relations. In the early part of that time, moving down here, I was a morning show intern on a alternative rock radio station. Did some work in finance, worked for Sprecher Brewing Company out of Milwaukee, did some marketing. And those were kind of all the stopping off points before I really ended up finding my way to Cousins Subs, where I saw an entry-level marketing position and felt it was an opportunity for me to pursue. And specifically after I did the interview, I really just was touched by what the company was all about. Mm-hmm. I liked the fact that it was family-owned, and I pursued the opportunity. And from there, I've been blessed with many opportunities with Cousins. I've been promoted. You know, in those first few years, I was promoted probably once every 9 to 12 months for about the first 4 to 5 years and worked my way up to director and eventually moved my way on up into the leadership team and as vice president of marketing, where I've been for just a little over 7 years.
I like the sort of the progression of different types of things you were doing marketing in, and I love that it all kind of leads to franchising, right? You know, some NBA, some basketball. Obviously, if you're in Milwaukee, you've got to work for a beer company for at least a little while, right? And how that all kind of leads to franchising. So tell us a little bit more about Cousins. Tell us maybe something about the brand story and maybe some things that some of our listeners might not be familiar with.
Yeah, so Cousins Subs was founded in 1972 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin by Bill Specht and Jim Shepard. They were, in fact, cousins. Bill was from Jersey, and he met his wife, Sandy, who was originally from Wisconsin. They decided to move back here to start their family. Bill moved out here and started working in the print press industry and quickly realized that he was missing his favorite style of East Coast subs. And he called up Jim and he said, "Hey, we got a big opportunity here." And they opened that first restaurant in 1972 here in Milwaukee, as I said. And they brought all those things that they loved about the East Coast style shops. They started with the bread, an Italian style bread with a little bit of crunch in the crust, slicing meats and cheeses daily, doing hot subs on a flat top grill, so doing a traditional East Coast style cheesesteak, and you know, many of the different things that they grew up loving and enjoying. From there, they really grew the brand. Today, we are 100 units, and we are in 3 states. We're in Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana. And, you know, we just continue to move forward as a family-based company. Bill is the sole owner today. Unfortunately, several years ago, Jim passed away and Bill did buy out his estate. So we are owned solely by the Speck family. And Bill's daughter, Christine, is the head of our company as our CEO.
Excellent. You know what I love about that story, and we hear it here on the podcast all the time when we're doing a spotlight on a franchise brand, is someone saw a gap. And in this case, maybe it was like a regional gap. You know, they didn't find the good East Coast style subs here in the Midwest. Someone saw a gap, and instead of what most people do saying, you know, wow, there's just no good subs in Wisconsin or Illinois or, you know, something like that, they actually said, hey, let's start a business, and they ran with it. And, you know, 40 some years later, here we are. That's a great story.
Yeah, it is. And I think, you know, when we first started off here about my story, it was something that really resonated with me. Being a small town kid coming to the bigger city, I certainly wanted to be in the city. I knew that was, or moving towards a larger metropolitan area was where I needed to be. But at the same time, I still have a roots and foundation. And that story, as I learned more about it, as I was interviewing and as I started my first years at Cousins, really have kept me tied to the brand.
Mm-hmm. I love that. So let's talk a little bit more about the brand. Anything new happening there? Anything innovative you guys are working on, either with the brand or anything on the marketing side or anything you're working on right now?
Yeah, there are several things we got going on. The first is we are several years into a full-on remodel plan. You know, being a bit of a legacy brand and having been around for a while, remodels were not necessarily enforced at the end of franchise contracts. And when we came together as a new leadership team several years ago, we did determine that one of the things we had to do was we had to update our restaurants. We had to update the guest experience from, you know, the restaurant standpoint for us to be competitive moving forward into the future, and that we needed to have a consistent remodel program. So like I said, we're almost about 50% of the way through the system. It's been a tremendous success for us. We've gotten great feedback from our guests where we have remodeled. And we're going to continue working through remodeling the rest of our restaurants to provide a consistent modern look to go along with what we believe is a superior product in our category. The second thing that's going on that's probably pretty big news for us is that after doing a lot of cleaning up and reestablishing our foundation, we had put ourselves in a position to go back out and look to proactively franchise again. So we've been proactively advertising for new franchisee, specifically multi-unit candidates, for about the last year and a half, 2 years. And we have signed three different multi-unit groups. A couple of them were here in Wisconsin. And the most prominent one was a franchise group out of the Chicago DMA. And we signed a 40-store deal with them.
Wow.
And just, big deal for us. And just 2 weeks ago, we opened our fourth location down in Palatine. We have other locations open in Lombard, one down in a loop on Madison Street. And then we're also, we opened in Crown Point, Indiana, right off of I-65 there. Before the end of the year, we'll have two more open with that group in Wheaton and Evergreen Park. And we plan to keep on rolling into 2020.
That's great, especially bringing more good food to Chicago. We just can't get enough of it. So I'm glad to hear that. How are you using marketing to connect? You know, maybe we should talk a little bit about connecting with some potential owners as well. But how are you using that to connect with your current customers? Because I think you've got a pretty loyal following, right?
We do. You know, having started in 1972, we reached kind of an iconic status with the baby boomers, right? So we kind of blew up around that time when the boomers were in college and then through their, you know, starting their families. And when we came together as a team and like I talked about, we had to kind of look at our foundation and look at how we were going to basically take the best of what we were and maybe modernize it a little bit and reshape it moving forward, not only to sell franchises, but also to grow a next generation of Cousin Subs fans with a uniquely new millennial market that was, you know, bursting upon the scene. And one of the things that I really focused in on was, you know, what are the key tenets? What is our value proposition to our guests? We don't feel that we are a price point, you know, discount, you know, cheap price brand in terms of value. We believe in our product and we believe that people will pay for our product because of the value of it. But it's about telling that story about the product. And I think it's also, it's also telling that story about the brand to create that emotional connection. So we really broke it down into three different buckets. Absolutely, starting with the products. So the key tenets of our product, we bake our bread daily in our stores twice a day, sometimes three. It's a proprietary bread recipe that Bill and Jim created. We slice all of our meats and cheese daily in the store, which is something we've done since 1972. It became a fad with fast casual, but it was something we were doing the whole time and we needed to talk about it. And number three, being a sandwich concept, we do all of our hot subs on a grill, a flat top grill. There are some competitors out there from the East Coast in that are franchises that do that. But if you look as a whole, from the Jimmy John's to the Subways to the Firehouse subs, many of them don't do their hot subs that way. And we actually grill all of our hot subs to order on that flat top grill. We have USDA choice steak, and we also have all white meat chicken. So really try to talk about those key things. The other additional piece is that, being a Wisconsin-based company, what are we known for? Or what are we known for in Wisconsin? Well, we're known for dairy. We only serve Wisconsin cheese in our subs. And then we have some really delicious side items that accentuate that Wisconsin dairy theme with Wisconsin cheese curds. We introduced a Wisconsin mac and cheese this year. And as we move into 2020, we will be system-wide launching shakes. So from a cuisine philosophy, that's bucket number one. Bucket number two is telling our story. I think it's a cool story that we're still privately owned and family owned. Yeah. Yeah. And we're also proud to be a Milwaukee, Wisconsin based brand. We do feel that there's been tremendous success for some other brands that have come out of Wisconsin and look to grow nationally that were iconic Wisconsin brands. You look at Harley Davidson, you look at Culver's, and others. And we feel that we're that next brand that can grow out nationally and be proud of our Wisconsin roots. So telling that story is important to us. And the third bucket for us and our value proposition is that we truly do care about where we open our restaurants and giving back to the communities that we call home. Bill Specht has given back to the community since 1972. For a large part of that time, it was really done anonymously. That was how Bill preferred to do it. But around 2011, I began discussions with Bill and Christine about potentially putting a little bit more of a face around some of the giving that we would do. And in 2013, we decided to establish a 501c3 called the Make It Better Foundation. And we focus our efforts in giving back to the community in three different areas. The first is health and wellness. The second is hunger. And the third is youth education. So for us, it's our story, cuisine philosophy, and our work in the community. And that's really how we try to differentiate who we are when we're both talking to consumers and potential franchise partners.
I really like the Make It Better story and, you know, doing anything where you're giving back to the community. I think that ties in so well with being, you know, kind of a Wisconsin proud, I guess is what I'd call it, type brand where, you know, you're regionally focused, proud of being, you know, you're from your home state. I think there's some parts of the country that really get that, like, you know, Texas comes to mind, and maybe some parts of the East Coast where, you know, there are certain brands that are sort of iconic from certain places. And I think the whole community giving part really accentuates that. But I got to tell you, man, you had me at cheese curds. So
many people are had at cheese curds, and that, you know, the cheese curds are actually an evolution from when we first started. Another key component of the menu when Bill and Jim started up was that they had French fries, and that was the East Coast thing too. So yeah. We actually started with having fryers in our stores for the fries, and then we had the opportunity to add the Wisconsin cheese curds. So we have those two sides available for guests, and they are quite the hit.
Love it. So let's talk some trends for coming up in, and I can't believe I'm saying this, we're about 5 weeks away from the year 2020. What trends are you seeing in the restaurant space specifically, and maybe in franchising in general, as you're doing marketing for, you know, both the local restaurants and the brand and also for franchising? Any trends you're seeing right now that you want to share, and maybe some things that people really need to think about as we move into 2020?
Well, I think several things. So if we are not the only legacy brand that decided they needed a reimage. So if you look out there, you're seeing a lot of that happening. With the explosion of the fast casual scene, I think the guest expectation for their in-store environment has continued to evolve. And it's really made every legacy brand take a look at the spaces where they welcome guests into. While the product is king, it's also very important that your space is someplace that people want to come into, that they feel comfortable in. If you want to have a very active evening day part and weekend day part to draw in families, you also need someplace that families want to go. Mm-hmm. And so we've had to match some of the newer fast casuals out there. We always felt we had a fast casual product, but we didn't necessarily have a fast casual environment. And now we feel we have both. But I think that's a trend out there that you're seeing with legacy brands. Another trend that's exploding right now is third-party delivery. It's kind of changed the landscape of the restaurant industry. It's not only changed it for those of us that didn't deliver, but it's changed it for those that do. It's provided a great deal of competition for those such as the pizza concepts and also Jimmy John's. It's had an impact on their business. Probably for them and some of stealing some of their share, because now guests can basically get anything delivered. If you want steak and lobster, you can get it delivered. If you want Cousin Subs and Wisconsin cheese curds, you can get it delivered. So for us, it was very important for us to evaluate that space, how it worked for us, how it would, you know, how we would see it working for our operation, how we see it working for our guests. And so we took a little bit of time to examine that, determine what partners we wanted to be with and how we wanted to approach it. But I'm happy to say that we're about 9 months in with third-party delivery at about 85% of our locations, and it's having a tremendously positive impact on our system. Wow. It has brought some, you know, it's brought, you know, it's challenges in some ways. You know, third-party, they're not your employees. They're not in your uniform, and you're asking someone who doesn't work for your company and isn't trained in your brand values to deliver your product. But at the same time, I think it's very important who you choose as a partner to execute that with, and then, you know, also how you do that. But third-party delivery, absolutely a huge piece of what's going on out there in the industry as well.
Yeah, and so much opportunity for any food service, any restaurant brands. It's just exploded so much over what, the past 2 years, would you say?
It's absolutely ballooned. I mean, I remember being at, the National Restaurant Association show probably about 3 or 4 years ago. And I always, in advance of the show, there's always like a CMO, marketing executive conference. And at that conference, I was approached by a gentleman who was starting a company called Postmates. And really, they were only in like DC and New York, and now everybody knows who they are. At the time, they were kind of it. And then, you know, Uber decided to throw their hat in the ring. And then from there, it just kept exploding from there into Grubhub growing to what they are. And now DoorDash, you know, surging out in the front. And then you have a ton of other smaller companies here out of Wisconsin. We have a couple Wisconsin-based companies. We have one called Meal Mobile, one called Eat Street. So it's really exploded, and it's a rapidly moving and growing and evolving space. And I think it's very important for every brand to be conscious of what's important to them and what's going to work for them. But it is a tremendous value and has opened up a lot of doors for us and many others.
Excellent. So lots of opportunities there for restaurant brands. Let's talk about some potential threats, maybe some things that you're seeing coming up over the next year or so that some of our listeners should really be aware of and be watching. Anything you really see coming our way?
Well, a few different things. I mean, just in terms of from Cousin's perspective, it's just the sheer level of competition. Yeah. I feel like I turn around every day and there's just a new concept jumping out there. In terms of other threats, there's a lot of pressures on how to handle the labor market. As wages continue to climb, and you know, there continues to be uncertainty on, you know, the healthcare side as well. All of those put unique pressures on restaurateurs and specifically our space. So we're very conscious of that, and we're continually looking to provide greater benefits for our staff and where we hire at, while also being conscious of the business and what it takes for us to be profitable. While not having to pass along huge increases in price to the guests. So it's this balancing act. What's unique for us is we were predominantly in Wisconsin for the last several years and predominantly a Wisconsin-based company for our history. And as we move into other markets, they have different minimum wages and different different regulations. So those are new nuances for us too as we move forward. So I think keeping our eye on minimum wage is an important piece for us. Keeping our eyes on what will continue to happen as healthcare evolves is important, for us, because that's one of our greatest costs is our labor. Second piece of the goods, we're always watching that can change from year to year. Moving into 2020, I can tell you, and I head up our menu development, and I work very closely with our senior director of purchasing. And one thing we're watching very tightly is the pork market. So there was, the way that I understand it is that, there was a swine flu in Asia. So the Asian market has been buying up a lot of the pork, from, other suppliers, and the Asian market, consumes, it's several times what we do here in the U.S. And we feature a number of, pork products on our menu, with, a number of different meats, that are pork. So that's something that we're watching pretty tightly. Because we have so many subs that feature pork product, that's something that we have to watch in terms of, do we move away from those menu items? Do we have to raise price on them, and different things. And all of that is also impacted by if a China trade deal is completed as well.
Yeah, so sure.
Those are things that, consumers might not really be in tune with, but operators certainly are. And, those things change from year to year, but that's kind of a glimpse behind the curtain of something that we view as a potential threat for 2020.
Very cool. And consumers will get really interested in this if we start saying words or phrases like bacon shortage or, something like that. I think somebody will pay attention real quick.
Absolutely, they will.
Excellent. Thanks for that. We'll be back in just a moment with some contact information if anyone has some more questions for Justin. But first, a quick note that the Emerging Franchisor Conference from the IFA is happening November 19th through the 21st in Nashville. You can check that out at franchise.org. We frequently talk here on this podcast about using digital marketing for franchise lead generation, and there's no one that does this better than a brand who will be joining us there in Nashville, Brand Journalists. They've grown over 170 franchise brands and helped FranDev Pros recruit over 10,000 franchise owners in the past decade. And they do it using my favorite method, great storytelling. They do it on websites. They do it on some really targeted digital marketing. So if you need some help growing an emerging brand, or you want to breathe a little life back into a legacy brand, or you just want to create a ruckus, talk to Brand Journalists. They'll do a free audit of your website and of all of your digital marketing. You can check them out at brandjournalists, that's with an S, .com. And again, if you're joining me at the IFA Emerging Franchisor Conference this coming week in Nashville, plan on spending some time to get to know Brand Journalists. Justin McCoy of Cousin Subs, thanks so much for joining us today. If our listeners have some additional questions for you, or maybe they want to learn a little bit more about the brand, where can they find you?
Well, about the brand, they can go to cousinsubs.com. We also have a presence on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and they can find us at cousinsubs. For me personally, they can find me on LinkedIn at Justin McCoy, and then my username on both Instagram and on Twitter is at JamBam0506. I often get questions what that means. That's my initials, my son's initials, and his birthday, but I would be happy to respond to anyone who reaches out.
Jam Bam, that actually came out really cool. It sounds like you, that's your wrestling name or something.
Yeah. it often gets a second kind of a little bit of what does that mean? So, but yeah, JamBam0506, Instagram and Twitter, or on LinkedIn at Justin McCoy.
Excellent. Justin, thanks so much for joining us today. And thanks to everyone for listening to Social Geek Radio, copyright 2019, Social Geek Enterprises, Inc.